speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The last 2 weeks, we have focused on evangelism on Sunday nights. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at evangelism being our greatest need. And while that the church has been restored to New Testament Christianity in regard to what it is that we believe, what it is that we do whenever we come together for worship, what it is that we teach with regard to salvation issues, there is certainly an area that we're lacking in, I believe, from a universal standpoint, and that is evangelizing. And therefore, I believe that we need to hear a lot about personal evangelism. It is one of the greatest needs, if not the greatest need, in the church today. Last Sunday night, we talked about the four alls of personal evangelism as they are brought out of the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through verse 20. And with regard to that matter, what we found is that Jesus is the one with all power and authority, and therefore the commandment to evangelize comes from Him. We also understand is that evangelism and reaching out to souls, that salvation is for everyone. All nations are to be taught and to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We also understood is that as a result of that, we have a responsibility individually. Every single member is to be involved in this, and we are to teach all things pertaining to God's will for mankind, and that Christ is with us always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. Tonight, I want us to focus on cost factors as it deals with evangelism. The reason for the series of lessons is to inform us what God says about personal evangelism, that is, the need for all of us to be involved, but also then I hope to inspire, to motivate all of us to be involved in personal evangelism, and I want to encourage us as to the ways in which we can indeed be successful in reaching out to lost souls. What does it cost us to be involved in personal evangelism, and why should I be involved in personal evangelism? Well, to begin with, I believe that God spells things out in a very clear fashion, and that goes back to our scripture reading just a few moments ago, is that Christianity is a taught religion. If you go all the way back in and study Judaism, you'll find is that the Jews were children of God because of their heritage. And what I mean by that is that they were descendants of Abraham. And as a result of their being descendants of Abraham, they were automatically a part of God's chosen people. They gained a relationship based off of the fact of who they were. However, Jeremiah, in the context of Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through verse 35, also amongst other prophets, spells out that in the Christian age, it's not going to be like that. In the Christian age, it's not just for the Jew. It doesn't matter where you come from, per se, as it does as to what it is that you are taught. Christianity is a taught religion. And we understand that in the church, we are to be involved in helping people understand what it is that God's will is for us. And we do that on a number of levels. And the impact that that has upon people, my friends, is most amazing. Take into consideration the things that we do whenever we come together in greeting one another. This morning, Alex Reed had her children here, little children, and I went around shaking hands as I normally do. And I came to Alex, I shook her hand, and that little boy stuck out his hand immediately to shake my hand. And I shared with her something that I just shared with Joanne, and that is with regard to Declan, their grandson. I saw him out at the school this last week, and he saw me in a place that he wasn't familiar with me with, and seeing me in, and he saw me, and Billy, he just like, "You're my preacher." And you know what he did? He ran up and he shook my hand. We teach in so many different ways, and it has such a very profound impact upon people. And whenever God identifies through the words of Jeremiah, He follows that up also in the New Testament, helping us to understand that faith is a prerequisite for salvation, and the only way in which people are able to attain that faith, saving faith, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My friends, Jesus emphasized this during the time in which He walked upon the face of the earth, in sending the apostles out to begin with in what we have identified as the limited commission, sending them out into the Jews. He doesn't send them out to gather them up because they belong to Him, but rather He sends them out with a message of repentance and of the fact that they have sinned against God, and telling them, instructing them, teaching them of the way in which they're able to have salvation in and through the Messiah. And we find this then not only emphasized by Jesus in the Limited Commission, in the Great Commission, going back to and reminding us of the lesson last week, is that as Jesus met with the apostles, He sent them out to teach the will of our God. Therefore, whenever we come in regard to come in contact with regard to what we find about the first century church, first century Christians understood the importance of reaching out, teaching people to bring them unto the Christ. At Pentecost, Peter and the rest of the apostles, what were they doing there at Pentecost? They certainly had come together as Jews normally would for Pentecost, but yet at the same time, they understood that they had a greater role to play this Pentecost than any other Pentecost, and that was to tell people about Jesus. That was to inform them, to teach them about the fact that the one that they had crucified was indeed the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, and that they needed to turn to Him in order to be saved. What was the result of their teaching? About 3,000 souls put Christ on in baptism. We also understand is that Peter was given the keys of the kingdom and that he used it at Pentecost, but also we understand that he used the same key there, if you would, in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and his household. He was in Joppa in regard to this matter, and he was beckoned to come and to be joined with Cornelius and his household to do what? To teach them the will of our God. Being a Jew, I would surmise is that he was a little hesitant, and in fact, I believe that the context actually bears that out, but yet at the same time, he went and he joined himself, if he would, to a Gentile. A Gentile of which the Jews would have looked down upon. And he did exactly what God commanded him to do, and what was that? To teach this man and his household the will of God. And as a result of that, this man and those who were of age, if you would, those who were of accountability, they also then obeyed the gospel. Tonight, I want to share with you what I believe is most important for us to understand as a congregation looking to continue to grow and looking to grow in ways maybe like what we have not grown in the past, is that a going congregation is a growing congregation. Only congregations that are willing to get involved, willing to get involved in personal evangelism, those congregations alone are going to be the congregations that are growing. I remember watching a few years ago a movie that was entitled, I believe, Field of Dreams. Anyone else in here remember that movie? And Field of Dreams, it was about a gentleman and his wife and family that lived out in the country and they farmed for a living. And he kept having this dream over and over and over again that said, build it and they will come. Build it and they will come. And as a result of that, finally, he gets the message that what it is that he's supposed to build is a baseball field. And in building that is that all of these players, really great players from the past, is that they're going to come and they're going to play ball there. Well, his dream comes true. My friends, I tell you today is that it doesn't work that way. We can't just dream it. We've got to work the dream in order for the church to grow numerically, in order for it to grow to the glory and honor of our God's name. So therefore, God spells these things out for us, and then we also need to understand that everything has a cost. Cost number one is a time factor. It will cost us time to be able to be prepared to study with individuals, to be able to reach out to these people. We need to be people of the Word of God, studying on our own, studying other material, evangelism material and things of that nature, so that whenever we reach out to people and invite them to come along or invite them to get involved in personal Bible studies with us, we'll know exactly what it is that we're going to say and teach them. And therefore, we need to spend time studying. We need to spend time preparing outlines and things of that nature. And we need to be spending time to encourage ourselves, to motivate ourselves, to get out and to beat the bushes, if you would. And in regard to this matter, I believe that we need to also understand is that it will take time for us to be able to go out and to knock doors. It will take time for us to people that we work with and to set up Bible studies after work and things of that nature. It takes time. So therefore, what am I saying? We've got to be willing to sacrifice and to go the extra innings. I know that you're tired whenever you get off of work. I'm tired whenever I get off and finish a day as well. But a lot of that is that we've got to understand is that we've got to be willing to give of our times. But my friends, even above that, we've got to be willing to realize is that it will cost us financially sometimes. How so? Going from place to place, we've got to put gas in the car. Going from place to place, we put wear and tear on our vehicles and things of that nature. We'll go out and maybe buy material or buy supplies that we're going to use in teaching people. Yes, there is indeed a cost factor involved in going and reaching out to people. And yet at the same time, we need to understand, I believe it was in one of our prayers this morning, in fact, the person praying was thanking God for the blessings that we have in life, realizing that in truth, we're just stewards over the blessings that we have in life. And that is so true. Everything that we have, finances, all of the material things that we have, it belongs to God. And God certainly wants us to be willing and ready to sacrifice in order to give back to Him that we might be able to do the work that He commands us to do in personal evangelism. But my friends, also, whenever we think about there being a cost factor, there can be many challenges to personal evangelism. I think the greatest challenge that we face today in the church maybe is apathy. And apathy is where that we are self-satisfied. Apathy is where maybe we are not as motivated or generated or sold on it as what we ought to be. And therefore, we've got to put away that challenge and to say, I know that God wants me to evangelize. I realize is that God is going to be with me in evangelism, and because God commands me to do these things, I want to be a better person. I want to be a better Christian and a servant of the Lord and get involved in these evangelistic efforts in any way that I possibly can. But friends, also, as we're thinking about challenges and the cost involvement here, rejection. I could not tell you the number of times that I have been rejected per se going around trying to teach people the will of God. More overseas in New Zealand than what I found here in the United States. But at the same time, from time to time, we will go and knock on a door and somebody will say, I'm not interested. Sometimes we'll even have warm contacts where that members have shared names with us and families and things of that nature. And we'll go talk with these individuals and I'm not interested. And sometimes we'll go and we'll invest time after time visiting people in the hospitals and nursing homes or going and visiting them whenever they've had a loss of loved ones and such, and trying to become friends with these individuals, trying to help them see that we are genuine and that we have a concern for them and where they are at the moment, but also that we have a greater concern for them where they're going to be eternally. And sometimes people say, I'm not interested. I don't understand why people reject us from time to time, but I'm going to be honest, is that from time to time, people do reject us whenever we go out, and that is a challenge. And then also on top of that, sometimes people persecute us for our faith. I've not really faced a lot of persecution here in the United States. More again, back over to New Zealand, I've been mocked and ridiculed by atheists whenever you knock on their doors, whenever we try to talk to them about Jesus. But I do know brethren, I do know brothers and sisters in Christ here in the United States that have been mocked, taunted, and teased for trying to teach people the will of our God. And that is a challenge, but yet at the same time, it's a challenge that we must get over. And therefore, I say that we must be 100% committed, 100% sold on doing the work of personal evangelism. And I say that to say, a lot of times I don't know that we are as committed to this work of evangelism as what God expects us to be. And friends, that's nothing new. Remember in the days of our Lord, in the days of Jesus said that the harvest is ripe and ready for harvest. But he says the laborers are few. And my friends, I hope and pray that as a congregation, is that if we really and truly want to grow to the glory and honor of God's name, numerically, is that we will be a part of those individuals who say, I'm willing and ready to put my hands to the work. What is it that then we can anticipate? There are a number of blessings. Souls will be saved from hell. As I was preparing for tonight, I got to thinking, and I just want to ask a question. I believe that I know the answer that we would get here tonight. Do we believe in hell? And the answer would be, absolutely we believe in hell. Not only do we believe in hell, we believe in heaven. My friends, let me say it this way. I'm going to be frank. If we really and truly believe in hell, and that hell is as terrible, as miserable, as what the Bible teaches it is, and that it is eternal, what's keeping us from inviting people to Christ? What keeps us from getting out and getting involved in helping to bring souls to Jesus if we really and truly love souls the way that God expects us to love souls, realizing that someday these people will stand in the presence of God, lost and eternally condemned? But also, another blessing is that we will experience numerical growth. You see, whenever God sows something, and whenever God is involved, and whenever God's people are doing what it is that He expects us to do in tilling the ground, if you would, preparing it, and then sowing it, and fertilizing, and watering, is that God's going to give the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 assures us of this. God gives the increase. And the increase that we can expect is numerical growth within the church. And friends, what a blessing that is. The more people who are in church attendance encourages us and motivates us. And more that we do in personal evangelism, the greater we're going to see the church grow. But my friends, also tonight, I want to encourage us by saying is that whenever the church is involved in personal evangelism, is that unity abounds amongst the saints. Jesus prayed for unity in John chapter 17, verses 19 through 20, 21. And then in like figure, what we find with reference to the first century church is that they were working for unity, and a part of that unity came whenever the church was working together. When we work together in personal evangelism, not only are we working to defeat the devil, not only are we working to the glory and honor of our God's name, not only are we working to bring sinners to be saints, but we are working. And as a result, together, and as we're working together, we're getting to know one another more so. We're growing to love one another even to greater extents than what we love each other at this point. And my friends, the church becomes much stronger, not only because we experience numerical growth, but because of the fact that we are always working and doing things together as a family. Let me also say, a blessing that we will experience is that a person's faith and abilities will increase the more and more that we are involved in personal evangelism. In going out through the years, and especially before I went through the school of preaching, I could not tell you the number of times that I was left shaking in my shoes because somebody asked me something that I didn't know. And usually what I would say to them after I learned to say this is that, I don't know that answer, let me get back to you on it. And then I would run home and I would sit down and I would read and I would study and I would call Brother Stapleton or I would call somebody else and say, I was asked this question tonight and I couldn't answer it. And Brother Stapleton would say, well, what did you say to him? And my first time I just said, I don't know. He said, well, tell him, I don't know, I'll get back with you on it. So that's what I learned to say that. I don't know, I'll get back with you on it. And whenever I learn the answer, to be able to go back and to teach them, I'm going to tell you that I came away a stronger Christian as a result of that. Because personal evangelism causes us, challenges us, to get into Word and to get into Word like maybe we've not done it before. And the more time that we spend in the Word of God on a personal basis, I'm speaking right now, on a personal basis, your love and your faith in God is going to be greater. My friends in Life Figure, your abilities will abound continually. You may think tonight, I don't know enough, or I don't feel comfortable in doing this or in doing that. And the more that you invest your talents in doing certain things, and that's true all the way across the board, but we're applying it to evangelism tonight, the more and more that you talk to people that you work with about God and about the church, about God's plan of salvation, the more and more that you reach out and you talk to strangers even, the more comfortable you're going to become in that, and the greater talents you're going to have in that, because God will give increases to your abilities. Personal evangelism. There are costs involved in this. And the question is that are we willing personally and even congregationally to invest in doing it and to count the cost? Tonight, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you to become a Christian. Please do not leave here outside of Christ. If you have questions, we will study with you. If you are ready to obey the gospel, we would love to be able to immerse you into Christ, to bury you in that water of grave of baptism, that you might then be raised to walk in newness of life. It may be that we have members here struggling with one thing or another, and we will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to this invitation, the Lord's call, please come.